Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday, the 21st of December. It's very nice to have you with us. It's the first day of winter, if you can believe that, and the winter solstice. And it's a delight to have you all here. And we thank you very much for being with us. Let us get to the introductions, and then we will certainly talk to you as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org or WAMC.org/roundtable, and we'd love to have your input on the topics that we discussed today. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Santa Chartok is here.
I've got my hat on.
Your rabbi would be so pleased.
He'll see me.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. But your rabbi would really love this look.
Yes, I know.
Think.
Yeah, well, as you know, there are real commonalities between these two religions.
Yes.
So
yes,
there.
There are many.
right. Like the guy who founded it.
Yes, right.
What would it take to get you into a Santa hat, Webby?
Huh. You know, people used to want to do a fundraiser with me in a spaghetti strap gown for the Pride Center. So that's a very, which I would never do. So that's a very interesting concept, money.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, it would have to be a fundraiser for somebody.
Yeah, but the Pride Center doesn't need money anymore, so you're all set.
Oh, no, that's the Pride Agenda.
Oh, the Pride Agenda. Okay, okay, there you go. Yeah,
and actually, the Pride Agenda does need money, and that's why it's doing what it's doing. So
for those who don't know what we're talking about, which are many, they have announced the Pride Agenda has announced they're going out of business.
Right.
Now, Mike Spain is here.
And I'm not wearing a Santa Claus hat, but
or a spaghetti thing.
I would have nor a spaghetti strap gown, but I would happily wear the hat. And never mind. Anyway, happy to be here, Joe.
It's very nice to have you with us. Rosemary's out this week, and Mike, it was very nice to fill in, and we thank you very much for doing that. So we appreciate it. Let's get on to the business in hand, and that is to talk about the issues of the day. So first of all, there was a debate on Saturday. It was the Democratic debate, and
saw it.
It was interesting because of the drama leading up to it, which we had mentioned on Friday. You may recall that there was great concern over the Sanders campaign's access to the
data.
To the data, which got into the Hillary Clinton campaign's data. And there was at least one attempt, and then the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, blocked access by the Sanders campaign, and then the Sanders campaign said, "Oh, we're going to sue you," and then we came to some agreement. And then the debate happened, and the first thing really that happened at the debate was an apology by Bernie Sanders.
He said, "We don't do this kind of thing."
Yes.
And so I apologize.
Which seemed like the
right thing. Well, you know, I mean, how can you control everybody on a huge staff who thinks they're being very clever and who, you know, sees an open portal and goes and looks at some of Hillary's, voter data as if it's going to mean anything, because it's not. But I think that it's pretty clear, to me at least, that the DNC is heavily laden for Hillary. And therefore, you know, this was a sort of a gotcha moment. I think everybody was right. He was right to apologize, and he was certainly right to threaten a lawsuit.
Well, the DNC have been accused of being so heavily in favor of Hillary's campaign and not being appropriately deferential to Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders. And maybe he needed to be aggressive when they threatened to, you know, basically impair his ability to raise funds. And that's what it would have meant if he was locked out of the database because of this breach. So, you know, I kind of agree with you. But what I think was impressive was the tone of their conversation about it, where they didn't use the word jerk, loser, or a variety of other derogatory terms.
You're a nothing, you're an idiot, you're a zero.
Right.
I mean, it demonstrated a higher level of conversation. And it's certainly there is tension between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, and they have They went at it Saturday night. For those of you who were watching it and not at the Star Wars movie or not watching a Christmas movie or something like that. But anyway.
You know, I've now gotten enough now. There are two things that I get mail about.
No, just hold on.
Okay, there are two things I get. Thank you, Joe. The two things I get mail about. One of them is everybody who goes to Prague sends me a picture of Kafka's house because I've always talked about Kafka.
Okay. Kafka-esque.
And yes. The second thing is everybody knows my love for Pete Seeger. And there was this huge article in Mother Jones about the FBI file on Seeger that went on for how many pages? 1,200 pages or something like that. Of which, in this year, 90 are still redacted. Can you imagine? What in heck could be in those 90 pages that are redacted? So everybody's been sending, okay, hold your mail. I got it already. That's enough.
I think what's in those pages are, you know, Hoover's notes with horrible cartoons or really nasty comments, and they didn't want to get them out. But let's go back to the DNC and the thing for a minute. You know, I'm not as generous around, well, they had this opportunity, they looked at the data, it was no harm, no foul. You know,
well, that's
that. Well, but that's the sense that
I mean, you have an open door and you go into it.
Yeah, right. But
that's right. That's a good way to portray.
But they know they shouldn't be doing this. They know that.
Well, who's the they?
The people who did this. Bernie's people knew that they shouldn't be looking at that data. They know how important that data is. They wouldn't want the Clinton campaign looking at their data. They'd be screaming bloody hell if that had happened, and that didn't happen. And so, you know, I think that, yes, the door was open and they walked through it. This was not an opportunity to advance oneself. But I do think that the tenor of the debate on Saturday night and the exchange between the two of them has sort of put this to bed on a certain level that this is not what's going to define the Democratic primary moving forward, and that's what's important.
Bernie Sanders did the same thing with the email and came under great fire for it too, but said, this is not going to be an issue. Who cares about your damn email? So we can talk about the issues
at large.
Exactly, but
that one was on Hillary, not on Bernie.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I think he's moving the discussion where he wants to move it, and that's important. To his claim, and Mike made mention of this, that for both Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders saying, look, you're having these debates on a Saturday night before the weekend before Christmas. Nobody's watching them, which isn't really true because
I think we watch. Pundits watch them and they report what is said.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But it isn't the large audience that you would have on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night.
Well, also because Joe, there's no contest really.
Well, that's true. Although you know, we still want to see.
Well, there's a resentment to that notion. I mean, there's a resentment to the idea that it's already locked up. Hillary has won the Iowa caucuses, if you look at the polls, and she's going to clean up. And there's, when you look at the South, there's really no mathematical way that Bernie Sanders is going to do it. But with that kind of smug approach, the DNC has taken, I think, a lot of hits.
Well, they should, because they're the ones who put it there on that Saturday night. And as we've already said, they're the Hillary people. However, I have to say, in Hillary's defense, I watched a good portion of the debate, and I have to tell you, she was terrific.
She was.
Boy, was she good.
She was great.
And, you know, she was animated. She was direct. She showed herself to be in total command of the policy issues that were going on. I thought O'Malley was sort of sad.
He was sort of like the kid in the
the famous soundbite today, of course, on O'Malley is that he says, let me give it to you from another generation's perspective when they're talking about the Middle East. You know, Hillary is 68, Bernie is 74, and he's 51 or 2 or something like that.
Well, that's ageism, and I'm particularly sensitive to that.
Yeah. Are you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, you know, there's a part of me, and I know we're going to get letters on this when I say this.
Good.
That Bernie came off as an angry guy in the debate. He really did. He came off as angry, and so does, you know, like Trump, an angry white guy.
But
and,
isn't angry okay?
Well, yes, to a degree. I think what Bernie is doing is shoring up the left of the party to the point where they're angry too, and they may not. They may stay home, which is going to be problematic. You know, they may stay
home
in November.
If you're likening Bernie Sanders to Trump, are going to get a lot of letters.
I am not. What I'm saying is that he's the angry white man of the Democratic campaign, and all of them are angry white men on the Republican campaign. But I just found it to be his tone and his delivery to be somewhat off-putting, honestly.
But if he is, quote, the angry white man, quote, of the Democratic campaign, he is doing it with much more elegance.
Oh, sure. And his politics are better.
And that angry white man
right.
who is
his politics are much
Republican
better.
Yeah. Primary.
But it was just interesting to watch. But she did have a total command of the issues and have the ability to bring it full circle, and I don't think O'Malley really was able to.
Well, he needs to break out.
Yeah.
He's doing anything he can.
He's not going anywhere, and he should just. And he's not going to be vice president either. So he should
That's right, and so that's exactly right. So
why
if you have any chance of being vice president, then you don't attack the way he did.
But, I mean, he might want to be in the cabinet, and that might happen.
Well, I think he's also looking at 2020. 2024.
Yeah, well, you can look.
He's a young man. He's only 52.
But by then, as Mario would say, a new pope may be born.
Yeah.
You grab the golden ring. What's the name? The other guy, Huckleberry. What's his name?
Huckabee.
Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Yes, we know that.
he thought. Well, he did well last time. This was his time.
Yeah. Right.
Well, who even knows him now?
Right. I mean, Santorum too.
You know, I just want to refer one more time to Mr. Senderoff, my Spanish teacher, who taught me in high school, because I was so pathetic in Spanish, that if I memorized one composition, I would get the 10 points in four tenses. So I memorized one composition called My Trip to Spain in four tenses. And then if they asked me, they gave you five choices, and one of them was my mother. All I had to do was say, I took my mother on a trip to Spain. Boom, I put the thing in. I got the 10 points, okay?
Uh-huh.
Why am I telling you this story? Because Bernie gets asked the question, any question.
Right. And it turns out the same answer, the rehearsed.
It's the economic disparity, in the United States.
He converts everything to that level. That's right. That's smart.
Well, he's
not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all. I mean, there is a major economic disparity, and I understand what people are saying about whether or not Hillary really, in whose pocket or whose hands are in her pocket. And but, in order to be president, you have to raise a lot of money. And, I'm sure that ultimately, if Bernie was the nominee, he'd be getting money from some very rich people as well. So it's just the way it is.
Let's take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll have just a few moments for some letters, and then we'll take our news break at the bottom of the hour. WAMC.org/roundtable to post your comment. We'd love to hear from you after this. Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us on our panel discussion. Alan Chartok is here. As we also have Mike Spain checking his device, Libby Post checking her device, making sure that the returns are in from all precincts, and we seem to be okay. So let's get back to some letters, and then we'll all of our technical issues have been absolved.
It's been like this the Pope
that
came.
Time, right. Yeah. And we will get on to other issues as well. Alan.
Okay. Bob says, let's see. Since some people who try to purchase guns have bad intentions, we should very carefully vet all people who want to purchase guns. Do I have that straight? But although some Muslims enjoy beheading and burning and blowing up Westerners, we should not slow down on the rate in which we permit them to migrate to Western countries so that our vetting process can be much more certain? My head spins, says Bob.
Well, he's making the assumption that all Muslims support what ISIS is doing.
Which we know is not true.
It's not true. And that he
not even a little.
Is continuing the fear mongering that needs to stop.
Well, and the same thing that anyone who would have a gun would approve of having assault weapons as well.
Right.
I mean, that's just
right.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Daniel says, Hillary was just amazing, composed, animated, and apparently incontinent. On a more serious note, anger being represented by candidates, they all left to go to pee.
Right. And then, but then the women's room was
it's
lot further away.
You go to any event, And the men's room, where you know, like a concert, you go to SPAC. The men's room, the line is always shorter.
Okay,
I end up going into the men's
room.
And they
have urinals.
Assuming they don't
well,
have
SPAC,
a
but.
Line for the
for
former First Lady and the Secretary of State.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that it was further away, and it does take longer.
Okay.
It just does.
All right.
We have
yeah,
to sit.
I mean, it's only a minute and a half.
Right. I mean, come on. Let's, you know, and saying she's incontinent is just rude. That's sort
right.
of like Donald Trump.
No, it's rude. It's rude. Okay.
But it's the second time it's happened to her, too. I'm wondering why. Can't they make the breaks just a little bit longer? Like, if you see that one of your... If you see that one of your candidates isn't there, can't you just, like, throw
yeah,
another spot in
right,
or just,
or
like,
just
vamp for a couple
for
of minutes
a little
before?
While. Right. Oh, thank you for coming back to the debate. Okay.
Ray right. says, beautiful music today. Nice discussion, too. Which Ray?
Could Which it, Ray? That's what I was going to ask.
Here?
Yes.
Not our Ray.
Throwing the Mickey in?
Not our Ray.
Okay.
Different
and,
email
and,
address. But.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, it could have been
and,
his private
and,
one.
And, Jeffrey says, I agree that Bernie sounds angry. I guess he should be given how powerful his statements are. During the debate, I kept repeating to my wife that Bernie sounds like he's hollering, not quite screaming, but hollering. Just doesn't sound terribly balanced and not the type of personality that most people would see as president. Hillary was great, reasoned, in command, from Jeffrey. Okay. Okay, so...
Can I just,
yes,
just add quick that when... Because we were talking about Saturday Night Live a moment ago, but when Larry David did his impression of Bernie Sanders, what made that so funny is that he was just screaming.
Right.
I mean, that's what
constantly.
Made that funny.
Right.
And I think there is
something
to
be
that.
Said.
Yeah.
Okay. Melissa says, let's say all these millennials who don't get polled come out and vote for Bernie. And here you guys are all for Hillary, agreeing that she's got it in the bag. I'm sorry, but that is not what I see. Bernie has more donations than any candidate, and he most definitely won the debate. Now, let me just say I don't agree with that. I certainly take some umbrage at how we're all for Hillary. Not me. So what
no,
can I tell
you? I think
we're
echoing what the Democratic National Committee's, the criticism of them has been, that they're acting as if it's all over. And, you know, certainly a lot of people, including that writer, you know,
well, we have two, first of all, breaking news, and that is that Lindsey Graham is dropping out of the race.
Oh, is that right?
That, yes, that he is dropping out right. of the presidential race, is ending his presidential campaign, that he made that announcement this morning. So,
did he throw his support anywhere?
Not yet.
Not yet.
So,
my favorite thing in the whole world are chocolate-covered graham crackers. Let me just mention that. Okay.
Well, that means what? That the ancillary debate, or whatever they call that, the lower end debate, the children's table, will now just have George Pataki and Ricky Santorum on.
Right.
And maybe Mike Huckabee, right? He's when
oh, that's true, but he wasn't. He didn't yeah. show up the last time. For
yeah.
some
yeah.
Okay.
He hasn't shown up in a while.
Bob says, but most gun per you missed a point. But most gun purchasers don't want to use their guns or violence either. You shouldn't skip your morning coffee.
Okay.
That's from Bob. Okay. And then Christopher said, Ben Carson is an angry white man.
Okay. I hear you.
Okay. Yeah. You got caught. That's all.
Fine. But I have to say, if you called Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio anything but white, they'd be very upset. That's all I have to say.
Probably right. Jim says, another reason to support Bernie, Hillary the Hawk didn't wear well in 2008, and the same is true now. But where do I go? Well, that's a very interesting question, because I hear from a lot of my friends who say, okay, I love Bernie, I don't love Hillary. Okay, and when you get a chance to decide between, in a general election, Hillary and Cruz,
right.
what are you going to do? Shoot yourself in the foot?
That's right. That's right. What are you going to do? So it's exactly
that's
that.
That's baloney.
Well, it's certainly what Hillary's banking on.
Well, it's what you need. You need to be pragmatic when it comes to these things.
We already see one to a customer, folks. That's it. One to a customer, because we get a lot of these. Panel, Debbie Wasserman Schultz needs to resign her position as Democratic chair and openly become Hillary's campaign director. Her bias towards Hillary is an embarrassment to all Democrats. If Hillary needs such machinations to win, she's in big trouble. And John says, I'm a big Bernie Sanders supporter, but I really can't see him winning the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party. Do you think it's feasible for a Clinton-Sanders ticket? Absolutely not.
No.
That's
no.
my view. Okay, he won't, that won't happen.
Hillary O'Malley ticket would be more likely, and that's that probably won't happen.
No, it's going to be a Hillary.
The guy from
one of the boys from San Antonio.
The brothers.
The Castro brothers. Yeah. Maybe you get twin vice presidents.
Right. Well, you know, no, it's going to be the one or the other, probably the one who's now at HUD, but it's going to be one of them.
So Melissa says, Bernie is the man. Bernie is the man who cares about the day after tomorrow. He voices his concerns about what happens after war, after tax increases, after recessions. It would seem he is the only candidate interested in the future of Americans in this country. The rest are playing the field and all and the emotions. All demagogues, says Melissa. And I don't know. Is there anybody else here? Yeah, there probably is. But I'm getting all these guitar ads. Okay. Coming here. Ethan
right
says,
before Christmas.
There was a segment on Morning
Edition. Free shipping by noon.
There was a segment on Morning Edition in which someone was being interviewed and she said, Hillary has been the nominee since the first debate and since the Benghazi hearings. She also said that Bernie is only up 5 points in New Hampshire. In reality, the latest poll has Bernie up 14 points in New Hampshire. I love you, Bernie. And that's from Lisa.
Right.
It does bring up the whole issue of, though, if everybody is talking about it as a fait accompli about Hillary, then it sort of becomes that. And if somebody would talk about it the other way and get some traction.
You mean in a Democratic way?
Yeah, in a Democratic primary, yes. In a Democratic way. It's all about perception. If people think Hillary's won it, then she's won it. If people begin to think that Bernie has a chance, he has a chance.
Anger. Being represented by candidates is mirroring the electorate, while many malign big industry, big money, another group of people praise big government. Why do we trust the people who hold more power over us than anyone? And that's from John. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Alan, while you have said that Bernie has your support, you've also said he doesn't have a chance of winning. Does this not translate into support for Hillary? No. Okay. So, right, no. Yeah. Question asked, question answered.
Right.
No. No. Okay. And I guess Guitar Center. Harry Shoes. Harry Shoes.
Can we move on?
Okay, let's go.
Okay, that's what okay. I got.
All right. Excellent. So President Obama spoke with NPR this morning and said that he spoke with them last week. They aired it this morning and said that Donald Trump is taking advantage of the fears of blue-collar men and that some of the scorn directed at him stem from the fact that he is the first black president.
Agreed.
This is news.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, I think that the president is...
He's free to say anything that he wants.
Yes. Yeah.
He would not have said that so much a few years ago.
You know what? You are so right. And this is an example of why we always decry the two-term presidential limit as being a bad thing. But there is something good to be said about you're not running the second time out, and you can be presidential and not candidate.
Right, right.
That's right. He doesn't have to win these polls. He doesn't have to win popularity contests. He evidently is not so concerned about how well he does in the polls. And right now he's really taking it, taking a lot of criticism for his low-key approach to what's happening with ISIS and the way that he's responded to the terrorist attacks in Paris and in San Bernardino. And the polls are showing it. Yet... he doesn't want the U.S. to be dragged back into war. He really wants it to be a war that the countries of the Middle East step up to embrace and fight themselves and not let us do it for them and get a coalition going. And those are the right approaches, but he's getting murdered in the polls.
Sure. I just want to – the quote from the president says, if you're referring to a specific strains in the Republican Party that suggests that somehow I'm different, I'm Muslim, I'm disloyal to the country, et cetera, which unfortunately is pretty far out there and gets some traction in certain pockets of the Republican Party and that have been articulated by some of their elected officials, what I'd say there is that that's probably pretty specific to me and who I am and my background. Mr. Obama made the statement this morning in the interview that was aired on NPR with Stevensky.
I was at dinner last night with some wonderful neighbors who I really admire so much. And and one of them turned around and said, you know, I really love this president. Said, I really love this president. He's got his head together. He's saying the right things. He's not doing the Woodrow Wilson thing where, you know, you send everybody up to war and all these people get killed. He's doing the right thing. And I have to say, I agree with my friend.
Well, look, I've been saying this for, you know, this is the thing that I've been trumping all along. No pun intended. But this is about race, and this is about people not wanting. There are certain people in this country who don't want a black man in the White House, and telling us what to do and how to live our lives and what our political decisions are going to be. And we've seen it over and over and over again. And Trump is like fueling the white supremacist tendencies in this country. And we're seeing the rise in that kind of rhetoric.
One of the things that the president said, too, which I think is an important point that I think is often left out, which is also that that's not to say that anyone who objects to his policy doesn't have perfectly good reasons for it. It doesn't mean that they fall into that category.
He's almost speaking as if he's 5 years in the future looking back and analyzing it like a history professor would. I mean, he's already, you know, I don't really care about how
analytical approach.
Yeah, the political aspects of it today. I'm just looking at trying to do and leave the mark. And he's had a lot of success against an enormous amount of discord on the part of Congress.
With two houses of Congress belonging to the other guys.
Well, he knows history will treat him well as being one of the most effective presidents we've ever had.
As it has with Jimmy Carter, as it has...
Even with Bill Clinton.
When Bill Clinton left, I believe at the time he was polled as the most effective president in the history of the country.
And those numbers really haven't changed dramatically over the years.
And by the way, he's going on the on the hustings now for Hillary.
Oh, you should. Really? He's a great campaigner. Yeah. Why not?
Well, he should. I mean, he's... Right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other things. Roundtable at WAMC.org, WAMC.org/roundtable. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Gordon Fire Equipment, offering fire extinguisher service and inspections to businesses and organizations in the Hudson Valley. Family-owned since 1956. GordonFire.com. Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger filling orders for holiday gift baskets with fruits, cheeses, chocolates, specialty foods, and more. AdamsFarms.com. Alarms of Berkshire County offering full service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for nearly 35 years. AlarmsOfBerkshireCounty.com. And from Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgeon dedicated to cosmetic surgery since 1996, featuring microneedling technology for collagen induction therapy, wishing WAMC listeners happy and healthy holidays. CAPEKplasticsurgery.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable discussion and our panel this morning. Very nice to have you with us, and we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. So Donald Trump hit the talk shows, the Sunday talk shows yesterday, and was defending. We talked about this on Friday. There was the discussion regarding in his press conference, Vladimir Putin gave great support and widely praised Donald Trump and said that he was brilliant. So then Donald Trump came under some fire of saying, because he was being very supportive of Putin. And so then on the Sunday shows, he said, look, nobody has proven that he's killed anybody. That was his line.
What I love about that was that Donald Trump invoked the protections under the United States Constitution that you're innocent until proven guilty and applied it to Vladimir Putin, when he will so easily throw the Constitution down the toilet when it comes to Muslims entering the country or living here and being treated equally. It is just preposterous.
Well said.
It is. So is it so now we see we were talking about derogatory terms being used in the campaign. But it was kind of fun to see Jeb Bush call him a jerk, wasn't
it?
Yeah.
With an exclamation
Trump.
This is what
yes.
I don't watch football, but isn't this a Hail Mary pass?
Well, it seems to be working.
It seems to be he is now emerging as the one taking on Trump. I think that Kasich was doing that. John Kasich was doing that and getting not so much traction. But Bush taking on Trump directly, maybe he's become the guy that is speaking for the others in the Republican
Party.
But he's
got to be more forceful. He just – it doesn't –
Well, no,
but
he seems like he's reading a script.
He's done that, you know.
Yes,
I always think of those World War II movies where, you know, the guys around there and the captain always says to them, don't shoot till you see the white of their eyes, you know. So I think that they've decided this is when he's really got to either do it or not do it. And that's why you're getting
this reaction.
I
just wish he would be – not that I want him to be president by a long shot, but he needs to be more forceful and more self-possessed in his – going after Trump. I feel like somebody told him you need to do this instead of it really coming from him. And I don't know if he's got that kind of mean streak in him, nor do I know if he really has the fire in the belly.
You know, I'm a big, sorry folks, just hold your letters. I'm a big Freudian. Forget about things like penis envy and stuff like that, because I don't believe in all that stuff. But I
do
believe.
Do we have to forget that?
But I.
Let's just forget.
But
I do believe he's right about character. And character doesn't change. And you can't wallpaper over character. You are who you are. I am, you are, even Mike is.
Mild-mannered as he is.
What we are is what we are.
Right. What we are is what we are. And that's what you're seeing with Bush.
I get that. And that's what you're seeing with Trump. I mean, he's just a bully. And that's his character.
Okay. What you see is what you get. However, but what you also see, and again, I don't, this doesn't sound like an endorsement for Jeb Bush. I don't mean that. But out of if you're comparing the two people, you're looking at someone who, if he is, he seems to be a legitimate, respectable candidate for the office of presidency of the United States.
You are exactly right. And not only that, if you think about it, of all the people in the race, he's the one who has the best shot at Hillary, in my opinion. He's the one who has the best shot because he dips into that middle range voter. And the guys that you know, the other guys are just, you know, it's off the wall.
It's one of those, you know, your choice between the lesser of the two evils. You know, and if we had to choose between the two, you know, Bush would definitely be a better candidate or a better choice from my perspective for the Republicans to have. I hope they go with Trump just because then we're guaranteed a Democratic victory.
But, or Cruz,
any of the other ones, or Ben Carson.
Know, I'm not so but, comfortable as you are that
really?
The outcome will be automatic.
What, you mean Trump
versus
Clinton?
No, Mike makes a very good point. If you look at the
all surprised at the way it is right now. Why shouldn't we continue to be surprised by the way things go?
Well, if you look at the national polls right now, you see that they're all bunched up, including Hillary at the top.
There's a few points between Hillary on a nationwide
and
race
against
Trump.
Some of them are beating
Trump.
Her. Yeah. The last time I looked, Carson was beating Hillary.
But back to Bush, I was going to say, you know, a lot of people thought he might have been the best Bush to run in the late 90s against, you know, for the Democratic.
And now we know
against
why
whatever Democratic.
But these polls are early. And, you know,
well, we're 6 weeks away, right? Well, we're 6 weeks away from the first voting.
From the first, but I'm talking about November and the real campaign.
Oh, you mean, okay.
You know,
the potential matchups.
Right, the potential matchups. And you have Hillary Clinton, who is measured and well-spoken, and you put her up against Donald Trump. He comes off as a bully. He will alienate every single woman except the ones without a brain. In this country. I mean, I could see it happening.
Perhaps it will take that because the polls have been showing that Democratic women are not automatically predisposed to Hillary, and a lot of women are in favor of Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. And maybe it will take a Donald Trump bullying Hillary for women to step up to defend her. Who knows?
But again, we're talking about the primary voters, you know, and
it's a different
animal than a general election.
I always get angry at Rosemary when she does this, but I'm going to do it too now. But that is bring up a big issue at the last minute of the show. But there is that thing. There was a great article in the Times this weekend about Trump polling well, but not doing real great on the ground, and having trouble with getting support in Iowa, certainly.
Costs money.
And even losing support in New Hampshire. And I'm just curious of you know, the trends of these polls that they don't seem to necessarily be reflecting what people are seeing in the individual states and regions.
But Joe, you need to, I mean, I think the point in Iowa particularly is it's such a complicated process that what you have to do is you have to get your people to get out there and to organize.
Right.
And to organize for the caucuses. And apparently he hasn't done that well.
Does he not have the people on the ground the way other candidates do?
Apparently not.
Relying more on his media exposure.
Yeah.
I don't think
he really has a ground game.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he can win this all.
So maybe all those people have been writing us all along, Libby, are now right, turn out to be right, that he never wanted it. Because you would have to really know what you have to do in order to win.
Yeah, I mean, he can afford the best political strategists, and he can afford to put people on the
ground. Yeah, but there's many people who say there's an arrogance there that says, I know this better than you do as far as the political consultants, and that's why I'm different.
It's all about TV ratings. It's not about...
Right.
Well, and poll numbers. I mean, how often does he... He is one of the few candidates who says, you know, let's not... I don't think he's ever come out and said the words, let's not believe the polls.
Not at least while he's leading the polls.
That's right. That's right. Good point. We're out of time.
Oh,
thank you very much. We'll be back with... You'll be back tomorrow, Alan. Mike will be back tomorrow. Libby, you're not back tomorrow.
No, I'm back Wednesday.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Unless you want me. You just got to let me know.
Okay. We'll be back, and thank you very much, panel. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll be more roundtable after this.
Thank you, Joe.